Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Psalm 119, verse 32, this is how it says, I will run, somebody say run. I will run the way of thy commandments, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Here's a prayer that I want all of us to get used to praying for the rest of this year. Not to just enlarge my territory. Because see, we're quick to start talking to God about enlarge my place of blessing. Enlarge the favor on my life. But I love the psalmist prayer here. He said, God, I want you to enlarge my heart. Because the bigger my heart is, the more I can receive of you. The more I can receive from you. And so listen to the cry of David's heart when he writes Psalm 119. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments, or I will run the way of your word, or the way your word tells me to run, when you enlarge my heart. He said, there's an expectation that I feel like God is wanting from me, and he's pulling me in this direction. But he says, I don't feel like I can live up to what God is asking me to do. So instead of quit, instead of whining about who I am and about my liabilities and who I'm not, he said, rather than complain about what I don't have and who I am not, he said, I would rather pray to God and say, God, make me more like you and enlarge my place of non-inhabitation, enlarge my place, my capacity, so that I can receive more of you. Because God, I know if I can get more of you, it's going to change the way I run. And if I get more word in me, I'm going to have more vision in front of me, and that vision is going to keep me running even when I don't want to run. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're going to want to quit. Sometimes things are going to happen in your life, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally. Things are going to happen that make us want to quit. However, if you've got enough word of God in you and you've got enough vision in front of you, it doesn't matter what is happening around you or to you, you've got enough to keep you moving forward. Somebody say forward. So I will pursue the word, like David. We will pursue the word. I will run after thy word. How many of you have ever been hungry? Just raise your hand. Ever been hungry? How many of you are hungry right now? You didn't have a chance to go get something to eat. So it wouldn't be good for me right now to talk about Texas Roadhouse rolls. One of my friends who was a vegan when he met me is no longer a vegan. He's sitting on the front row. And he moved from veganism, if that's a word, to eating chicken. He said, ooh, I love chicken. I said, ooh, if you love chicken, you're going to love this thing called beef. And he met me. He said, Pastor, he said, guess where I went yesterday? I said, where? He said, I went to Texas Roadhouse, and I had a steak. And I high-fived him. I said, good. And I said, that's just a beginner's steak. I said, there's a place in town called Brazil. And that's a Brazilian steakhouse. I said, they come to your table and you flip a card and they bring you beef, chicken, pork, whatever you want. They just start carving it off. Anybody hungry yet? He said, I will pursue. He said, I will be hungry for your word. Can I encourage us that the same hunger pains we have physically when we have not eaten in a while, we should go through the same hunger pains for the word of God when it has been an hour, two, three, 4 hours, half a day, and we haven't been able to spend time. We should feel the same, not hunger pains physically, but hunger pains spiritually. When I miss a service and I have to go somewhere else, you say, well, Pastor, you're still at a church. Yeah, but there's no place like home. When I have to miss a service at Living Way, there is a pain that happens in me because of what my expectation was and what I received. Can I encourage you? Start praying. God, give me a desire for your word. You say, man, I just can't seem to open my Bible every day. You got to start praying that desire in. God, give me a desire for the things of God. Give me a desire for time with you. Give me a desire for your word. Running with vision reveals the why we run. Somebody say why. Once you've received a revelation of God or from God, running becomes almost automatic. When I woke up this morning, I did not have to say, let me make a decision now whether I'm going to follow Jesus or not. I've been walking with Jesus enough that I knew with my mind made up for certain today when I woke up, not that I was going to come to church, but that every moment of Wednesday that I'm going to follow Jesus, no matter what it costs me, no matter what's happening. Can I encourage you that when you get a revelation of who Jesus is, it's going to make your running easier, because now you're not going to wake up saying, am I going to run? You're going to wake up saying, oh, I'm going to run the race. I don't know what's going to happen on Wednesday, and I'm not confident of what's going to happen on Thursday, but I do know this, that I've received a revelation of who Jesus is. And so every day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to run towards the prize. I'm going to keep my focus, and it does not matter what happens. I've talked to God, and so it's going to keep me moving forward, running with vision. For those in the room today or watching online that are running the race, for those of you that are still in your lane running your race, it is because you have had an encounter with Jesus that will not let you stop, that will not let you quit, and that will not let you retreat. There are some of us that going to hell is no longer an option, and even the devil has given up on dragging you to hell. But what the devil is doing his best to stop you from is fulfilling the God-given purpose and finishing your assignment. But I've got news for the devil. You got to us too late. We not only went to the cross, we followed Jesus to the upper room, and we've been filled with the Spirit of God. And even when our bodies try to betray us, the Spirit won't let us stop running the race because of the vision you've given us. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. I'm going to read two translations. We'll start with the King James Version because it's the most oft-quoted. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain. I've always spent a lot of time on verse 2 talking about writing the vision, but I've gone very quickly past making it plain. Can I encourage you? We want to be a note-taking church. Whenever the Word of God is being preached, whenever you are in a devotion, whether it's a private devotion or a Bible study, you need to have the notes app open on your phone. You need to come with a journal, and you need to write. This young lady right here has blessed me so much. She just graduated from Catalyst Kids a few months ago, and they gave her the exit and said, all right, now you've got to go to big church. I don't like the phrase big church because that would make that little church. There's nothing little happening next door, praise God. They're having church next door. But when this young lady came, she automatically started sitting on the front row. Now, I don't know if her mama, Miss Stacy, told her to do that or if she just wanted to be up close. But what I love about her is she always has a notebook in her lap. And she'll come up to me after church and she'll have two or three pages of notes. Her notes are more extensive than the notes I'm preaching from tonight. Why? Because here's a young person that is saying, God, if you give me something on a Wednesday night, I'm not just going to amen it for 30 minutes. I'm going to write down something that you deposit or invest in me. I'm going to write it down because I either need it today or I'm going to need it tomorrow. But when I need it, I will have written it down in such a way that's going to cause me to run or walk out the precepts that you've spoken to me. Write the vision. So become a note taker. Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. That he may run that readeth it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Somebody say it's not yet. But at the end it shall speak. You know what I love is the word of God spoken to me produces a vision that I can see, and then the vision, if I can look at it long enough, the vision has a voice and starts talking back. That's what verse 3 says. It says, it will not, it's for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Somebody say, run with endurance. That's wait for it. Run with patience, because it will surely come. Not it might, not it could, not if. It will come. If God said it, you can take it to the bank. Write it down, stand on that promise, and watch God work. It might not happen when you want it to. It might not happen when I think it should, but it is going to happen. And remember, God is never late. It will not tarry. Now let's go to the New Living Translation. This is what it says. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets. We run church because we have heard from God. Well, Pastor, I just don't feel like running today. Well, then you haven't heard from God. You just told on yourself. If you haven't heard from God, it's not because he's not talking. It's because you're not listening, or because you have allowed things to happen in your periphery or in your proxy that allows or that stills the voice of God. You've got to turn down the volume of the world, and you've got to turn up the volume of God. Because I run because I've heard from God. I'm not running because of what you said. I'm running because of what he said. I am not stopping because of something you do. I am not stopping because of what he said. The reason I'm still running at 42 years of age in this race, although it has not been easy and things have happened in my life, is because God has spoken to me through his written word. God has audibly spoken to me when I was 18, but his spirit speaks to me every day, and that's what causes me to run. What we hear, church, write this down. What we hear impacts the way we run. If you're not running right, you're not listening right. If you're not running in a straight line, you're not hearing right. Because what you hear will impact the way you run, or will change you from a stationary position to a running position. He said, write the answers plainly. Write the vision and make it plain. We write it plainly. Check this out. Just the high points. You ever talk to somebody that wants to give you a whole story instead of just the answer? You ask them, hey, can you show up to this? And they give you a no, and then they want to, I don't need the explanation why you can't, just a yes or no. That's why I love text communication rather than calling someone on the phone. Because when I talk to you on the phone, you're going to ask how Mandy is, and now I feel obligated to ask how your wife is. You're going to ask how my kids are, and now I feel obligated to ask you how your kids are. We're going to talk about the weather. We're going to talk about all those things, and we have now wasted 5 minutes of small talk while we've been circling the wagons trying to get to the real deal. Or maybe you're even buttering me up, or I'm buttering you up because I'm getting ready to ask something big. But I love text communication because no one talks about the weather in text. We get right down to the nitty gritty. That's why I tell my team all the time, if you want a meeting, make it textable or email. If you can't make it, you need to make it anyway. Time is valuable. We can't be having meetings all day. Why? Because we're running. Some of us want to pray about everything. Quit praying about things God has already told you to do. You're wasting your time praying about tithing. It's a command. You're wasting your time praying about worshiping. It's a command. You're wasting your time about praying about what God has already told us what to do. He said, write it plainly. Hit the high points. Cliff Notes version. Why do we write it plainly? So that we do not mix it with our personal opinion and our personal narrative. God, let me just say this. God doesn't, I was going to say you, but I'm going to make it me because it won't be as mean. God doesn't care what I think. Now, he cares how the world is affecting me and affecting you, but he does not need my personal opinion and narrative over what's going on in my life or what's going on in the world. Here's some things that I have to tell myself on the daily, and I actually put them in my notes. What I think does not matter. If Mandy was here, she would say, amen. How I feel does not change anything. You're more than welcome to tell me how you feel about it, but your feelings will never change anything. My opinion is not valuable. There is no such thing as my truth. What the Word of God says is the only thing on the face of the planet that is life-giving and that can transform. So if my feelings, my opinion, and my truth are worthless, then why would you want to hear about that when we could talk about Jesus, his word, his promise, and talk about how our faith needs to be built up in such a way to believe and stand on that in faith. We write plainly so that it's not mixed with us, it's just him. Here's another reason we write plainly, so that everyone can understand. If you go to the church website, there's a What We Believe tab on there. And it's going to give you 20, 25 foundational truths of Living Way that are all given scripture after scripture after scripture, why we believe those things. And they are very, very important. And you can point people, if they're at, what is Living Way? But this is what I always tell people, why don't you come to Living Way and experience what God is doing, and then you can read that. But some people want to read before they come. But you know what we've never done? We've never printed what we believe on the back of a t-shirt. Because the guy at Valero doesn't understand why we speak in tongues. Doesn't understand that we believe in one God. His name is Jesus. They don't believe all of that. So you know what we put on t-shirt? Jesus is hope. What are we doing? We're writing it plainly so that everybody that reads it can understand. Now, they might not like what they read, but they understand what they read, and they understand what I believe. I don't have to get into a long discourse at Pump 3. I don't have to get in an argument at the water cooler. I'm just wearing a shirt that says Jesus is hope, that says Jesus is King. All of those, why? Because we want to present Jesus in such a way where people know where we stand and what we believe. Can I encourage you? Quit making the things of God so difficult. If God says it, do your best to walk it out every day. And I promise you, you're going to see your life begin to matter in ways that it never has. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, and I'm almost already out of time. This is what Paul encouraged Corinth with. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity. The Old Testament, and we paraphrased it in the Western church a lot because it actually doesn't use the phrase that it's so simple a wayfaring man can find it. But it does give that principle that the kingdom of God and the road to heaven is not difficult to find if you're looking for it. But you can't, listen to this, you can't blame God for a road that you never found because you never looked. You cannot complain that you never found the road that you didn't look for. There's going to be a lot of people that stand before Jesus on judgment days, and they're going to have a lot of excuses. But he's going to say, you drove past those three crosses in Living Way Church 5 days a week for 20 years, and you never once stopped. You saw this on TikTok. You saw this on Facebook. You saw this, and you never once stopped to say, hey, I wonder if that's the road that's going to lead me to all the answers to the questions that I have in life. Can I encourage somebody in the room today? Let us quit complicating Jesus. Jesus is so, there's a simplicity. Listen, the gospel is simple. We were messed up, and we have a God that loves us so much that he wrapped himself in flesh. He came to this earth and walked among us for 3 years, went as a dumb sheep to slaughter, and stretched out on a cross. And we're getting ready to celebrate in 2 weeks resurrection. He rose again for us, and he ascended into heaven where he is now at the right hand of the Father, and he is preparing a place for us, and he's going to come again and receive. The simplicity. Well, what about this? The simplicity. Great preachers and effective communicators make the difficult and complex easy to understand. But bad preaching and ineffective communicators make the simple and easy to understand complex and hard to decipher. But here's the reason why most preachers do that. They do that because of their pride and their fragile ego. They want themselves to be lauded as amazing, intelligent, and rare. In 1536, William Tyndale was imprisoned, strangled, and burned at the stake. You know why he was imprisoned, strangled to death, and then his body burnt? Not because of a crime that he committed against children. Not because he was a serial killer, arsonist, rapist. None of that. You know why he was strangled, imprisoned, and killed? Because he had the audacity to take the Hebrew Bible and translate it into English. You know who killed him? Not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, not these crazy people that are against religion. You know who killed William? The Catholic Church. You know who said to kill him? The leaders of the Catholic Church. Why did they do that? Very easy. The Catholic leaders did not want their parishioners to read the Bible for themselves. They said, you come to the Catholic Church and we'll tell you what God is saying. Well, I want to read it for... No, you wouldn't understand it. I am a man of God and you need to come to me. And we have seen how the Catholic Church is full of a lot of leaders that are not really leaders. They are actually preying on... And let me tell you, when they lost their power to manipulate people and hold the Word of God over people, and William came along and said, no, every believer understands and deserves the right to approach God all by themselves and to read His Word and to stand on His promises and to be taught and equipped all alone and by themselves, they no longer could let that happen. If you want to effectively run your race, church, you are going to have to run with purpose, and you must become a student of the Word of God. I'm a much better student of God's Word than I was Texas history. I was a C student, y'all, and I'm proud that I was a C student. You say, you shouldn't be proud of that. An A plus in chemistry wouldn't have changed what I'm doing today, praise God. But I'm going to tell you what, I do not approach the things of God like I approached chemistry in Algebra 2. I am a student of the Word of God. Why? Because what God has called me to hinges on me understanding His Word. The husband, the father, the pastor, the leader, I must become a student of the Word of God. The thing about this, being a student of the Word of God, is we never graduate. There's always continuing education. I'm talking to somebody that's in here for, you've been saved for 40 years. There is still more of Jesus to learn. There is still more of Jesus. There's another layer to unwrap. There's another dimension that God wants to take you. And it doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus for 15 minutes. Don't feel bad, because you might be in preschool today, but God doesn't make you take 9 months to go to the next level. As much Jesus as you want, you can graduate very quickly. You can move through the ranks very quickly. I know people sitting in this room today been saved less than 5 years that are more mature in their belief and their faith in Jesus Christ than some people that have been walking with Jesus, or so-called walking with Jesus, for 30 years. If you want it, God is ready to give it, but you must become a student of the Word of God and hungry for the things of God. Let us not corrupt, and I say us, let us as a church, but let us as pastors and leaders and preachers and teachers and whatever you want to call us, let us not corrupt the simplicity of Jesus Christ. My youth pastor, because this was before political correctness, my youth pastor used to tell us as young people, he would say, kiss. Does everybody know what kiss means? Keep it simple, stupid. You said your youth pastor shouldn't have talked to you like that. I wish more youth pastors talked like that today, and we probably wouldn't have the problems we're having with teenagers today. I have people ask me with regularity, Pastor, what about this book that didn't make it into the canonized scripture? Pastor, what about the Catholic Bible? Pastor, have you ever read the Quran? Pastor, why don't we ever hear you preach a series on Revelation and the end times? Very easy, church. I'd rather preach about Jesus than those things. I'd rather preach from His book than look at the Quran. I'd rather preach from His book than talk about the books that didn't make it. Every book that needs to be in the Bible is in the Bible. And why would we want to talk about the end times and about Revelation and things that none of us really comprehend and understand when you're still trying to pay your light bill on time, raise kids that love Jesus, keep your marriage strong? Once we get all of that together, then we can talk about the signs of the times and the times of the signs. But I'm not telling you not to read Revelation, but I'm telling you maybe you shouldn't be so quick to get to Revelation until the book of Acts is so embedded in your spirit. Maybe until Romans and Galatians and Ephesians are a part of our spiritual walk, and we can talk about them forwards and backwards, and we can teach a master's class on what it means to be filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Maybe then we can talk about blood moons. Maybe then we could talk about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. Well, Pastor, where do you fall on the tribulation? Are we going to be, why are you worried about that? We can't even get you to come to two Wednesday nights in a row, and you're worried about what's going on in Revelation and how it applies to today. Just come to church. Simple. Read your Bible. Simple. Worship God and only God. Simple. Give 10% of your money to the kingdom of God. Simple. Let's quit complicating things. Well, how do you baptize? Get in the water. I'm getting so sick of preachers. Stand on your feet. I'm getting sick of some preachers and pastors. I got up on Friday to a room full of about 250 pastors, and this was my introduction. They gave me 30 minutes. The clock was right at my feet. I said, I have 30 minutes, so there's no need for me to go through a bunch of long introductions. So my name is Pastor Brandon Fender, Pastor Living Way Church. I'm not here to get other preaching gigs. I have a great church at home. I've been happily married for 21 years. I'm not here to find a wife. I have great kids. I have all the friends that I want or need, so I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to help somebody, and I'm on assignment. I'm here to preach the word of God. I'm here to help somebody. And you said, did it make them mad? About two-thirds of them stood to their feet and begin to clap. And they said, Pastor, it's so refreshing. I said, that's what we've got to get back to, what we're called to do. We're not called to look cute. We're not called to build an earthly kingdom. We are called to preach Jesus and Him crucified. We are called to make disciples. We are called to go to the ends of the earth. Let's keep it simple. The world is lost and they need Jesus. Now, what am I going to do about it? Check that out. How simple is that? The world is lost. They need Jesus. What am I going to do about it? Tomorrow morning, you're like, God, I just wish I knew what I was here for. Here's what you wake up tomorrow saying. My job, all the people at my job are lost. They need Jesus. What am I going to do about it? I'm running with vision. My vision includes all of San Antonio and the surrounding areas. But really, my vision is every broken person that comes across my path, every empty person that comes across my path, every person that is church hurt or deconstructed that comes across my path, every Catholic, every Muslim, every Protestant. If they need Jesus, what am I going to do about it? I'm running with vision. Running with vision. If you're in this room today, there's a lot of ways that we run. I didn't even get to it. We'll get to it next week. Habakkuk chapter 2. We didn't even get to most of the reasons that is wrote plainly. We'll get there. If you're in this room today, I believe that you're not here by accident. There's some first-time guests here today. I believe that God knew what you needed to hear, where you needed to be, and He brought you here at 7 o'clock tonight. I believe that. I sincerely believe that with all of my heart. I don't believe there's an accident in this room. I don't believe that somebody's watching this on the other side of this red light and screen. I don't believe that you're watching this by accident. You might be watching it live on March 13th. You might be watching it archived 6 years from now. It might be April 15th, 2030. Holy smokes, that's in 6 years, y'all. You might be watching that right now. You stumbled across it. God knew what phone you're going to have in your hand, what time it would be, where you needed to go. The friend shared this link, and here you are. I believe that God orchestrates our life like that. I really do. So you're here for a reason tonight. I need to ask you one question. Are you running with vision? Are you running to win? Are you running with endurance? But are you running with vision? Are you running for a purpose, with purpose, on purpose? Are you just getting up running on a treadmill, not gaining any ground, not covering any distance? Are you saying, God, this is my creative purpose? You've given me this vision for my family, for my city, for my job, whatever it is. God, I'm going to make sure that I do what I need to make sure that thing comes to pass and that I finish this race. But I'm asking you one more question. Your family's lost. They need Jesus. What are you going to do about it? People at your job are lost, broken. They need Jesus. What are you going to do about it? Could it be that God didn't bring you to that job to make more money than you've ever made? Could it be that God brought you to that job because He knew you were going to be a witness? You're going to be a Jonah to a Nineveh that needs Jesus. It's talking about the family reunion coming up this summer. Your family's lost. They're broken. They're hurting. They're in false religion. They need Jesus. What are you going to do about it? Two types of people that are going to come to this altar in 15 seconds. The first is you don't have a vision at all. You're just waking up, living your life aimlessly. We're going to get there next week. The Bible talks about people running wildly with no direction. You're wasting a lot of energy running with no direction. And it's time that you get direction.